Last night, Brother Kenny brought us a good message and had good music, and look forward to both the same tonight. I appreciate you that are visiting with us. I forgot last night, but if you're visiting with us and you're needing a bathroom, through that door, dead end, take a left, and they'll be on your right over in the educational building. So sometimes you get to looking there. Where in the world are the bathrooms in this place? So, heading that direction. And glad to have Andy Prince here, who's the new mission strategist for the Stanley Montgomery Baptist Association. Most of you have not met him, so if you get a chance after the service to speak to him and welcome him. He's been around here many years ago, but he's coming from the far country of California. And so, and Lee Proctor, another minister friend, he and I go out to eat occasionally. And Lee says he preached here back in about 2017 or so. So you may remember him, and welcome him as well. But all of you, we're glad that you're in the Lord's house. And I'm not going to try to introduce Brother Kenny. As I said last night, he's been preaching in Stanley County since he was in kindergarten. And you know him as well as I do. He's a good brother in the Lord and loves Jesus. You know, when you get a preacher that loves Jesus and loves to preach and loves people, that's a good combination. That's a good combination. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the many blessings that we have. Thank you for the freedom that we have to come and worship tonight. Father, you know our hearts. You know the situation in our individual lives and families. You know the situation in our particular churches. And so, Father, I pray that tonight the music, the prayers, the message will be used by the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. And Lord, if you're speaking to us, help us not to feel like, well, I hope my brother or my sister over there got that. Because if it's me, Lord, I want to hear it for me. Father, help us to be aware how quickly these 4 days will go, and if there are those that we need to be inviting, those to whom we need to witness, help us not to be slack about doing it. Ere an opportunity has passed and we've missed it. Father, I pray that as Kathy and Tonda come to sing, and as later as Brother Kenny comes to preach, they will experience and sense the supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit guiding their words, their thoughts, Lord. It's an awesome thing when you speak to us through our brothers and sisters. Father, help us to have ears to hear, hearts to understand, a willingness to follow and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. It is so good to be here tonight in revival and to be with all of our friends and the visitors tonight. We're glad to have you with us tonight. And it seems like that the theme is, I've got a song picked out for us to do for a hymn sing, and it says, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And boy, do we ever. And so let's get together. Let's all sing together, "Oh, how I love Jesus," on page 217, or it's on the board for you. Let's all stand together and sing all the verses and sing it like I know you love the Lord. Okay? Everybody said, amen. Welcome someone tonight. Would you do that for me? Our music tonight is going to be with Kathy and Tonda again as they come up to present for us. We have some requests for her, and I think they're going to take care of those requests tonight. So tonight they're going to sing. Tomorrow night, I have been saying all along, we've got a surprise soloist coming tomorrow night. Well, I'm going to give away the surprise. I'm going to tell you who it is. It's Brother Kenny. Brother Kenny Wallace is going to sing tomorrow night, okay? Yeah, that's right. The very first time he was in this church, he sang. It was in a revival, he sang. And he still can. And I know he can, so we're looking forward to it. Kenny said, don't tell them, they may not come back. But I know they'll be back. It's so good to have him to do that. And then Wednesday night, you hear the singing towers, they'll be here, and it'll be the first time we've sung together since we've had to reorganize. And so I'm looking forward to that in the lane. So that's the music. So ladies, you come and share with us tonight now. Tonda and Kathy, please.
We want to give a big shout out to our sound guys. Please forgive us. We're women. We change our minds. We're so sorry. Yeah. But thank you so much for dealing with our last-minute Lucy requests and making us look good. So thank you so much for all that you do for us. They make us look really good doing it.
Thank you.
All right, the song that we're going to sing together will be Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
As long as I've endured.
forgive me for being a little bit nervous. I always do that when I get up here on, by myself. So the next song, I prayed about it, and these are the two that I settled on. So the first one is More Than Wonderful. It's an old song, and I know you guys have heard it infinitum, but it is just still one that I absolutely love. And when I think about Jesus and all that he's done for us, it is more than wonderful. He is truly our Savior. And I hope that you all know him and know his wonderfulness.
He's more wonderful than my heart.
can grab my book for my other song.
So if you guys will hold on.
Oldie but Goldie. It's called The Lighthouse, and I'm doing it for my mom, so hopefully she'll be able to hear this. Huh? Yes, and my husband. So. Oh, forgive me for not being organized tonight. It's been a long couple of weeks, so.
Life seems Thank you so much, and God bless you as you have glorified our Lord through music tonight. Brother Leonard made me feel real good when I came in a while ago. He said, "Preacher, you're looking real sharp." I told him I had another preacher friend who told me I was sharp as a tack and twice as flat-headed. And then I was reminded about some years ago, I was in the hospital in Charlotte, and I stepped inside an elevator, and as I stepped in, this rather large black lady was standing there, and I noticed she kept looking at me as we was going up several floors, and she said, "You must be a pastor." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am. I'm pastor at First Baptist Church in Locust at that time." She said, "Uh-huh." She said, "I thought you was a pastor. You look just like my pastor." I had to think about that one a little bit. Oh, you have some great times together with great people, right? Amen. Yes. Now, if you have your Bible tonight, by the way, Brother Eddie, thank you for letting me come and share God's word this week. I want to tell you something. That's a great man right there. I love that fella. We've been, how long did you say we've been preaching?
Since Noah's Ark.
Kindergarten. That's what he said. Yeah. We started early, didn't we? Yeah. I've been preaching 55 years. I don't know about you. You're preaching 60? Is that right? Boy, you did get started early, didn't you? Yeah, God bless you, brother. We are so glad you're here tonight. Folks from Mineral Springs come. They come listen to me on Sunday morning, and then they come again. I mean, you know, you think, you know. But thank you for being here, girl. We appreciate you being here tonight. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Galatians, if you would, in chapter 2. The book of Galatians in chapter 2. And I want to focus tonight on verse 20. Now, if you are a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I said the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not Barber's Grove Baptist Church, because there's a lot of people, members of churches, who aren't a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But if you are a member of the body of the Lord Jesus and saved by His grace, I want to speak to you tonight on how you and I can live a sanctified, holy life for Christ. Did you know God expects that of us? Amen? He expects us to live a holy, divine, sanctified, separated life for His Son, Jesus Christ. And you and I must know today that that's not the situation with the church. That's why we need and why we must have spiritual revival. That's why we need and we must have spiritual revival. And so I want to focus on chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 20, where the Apostle Paul says this, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Did you hear what Paul said? I have been crucified with Christ. Have you? May we pray. Heavenly Father, it is Your word, not mine. It is Your truth, O Lord, that we declare tonight. And we come in Jesus' name praying that the Holy Spirit of Holy God would come and convict of sin, of righteousness, and eternal judgment to come. Of sin, Father, because they believe not in You. Of righteousness, because the Son of God has returned to the Father in heaven. Of eternal judgment to come, because the prince of this world has been judged. Oh, Father, tonight we pray that You'll move upon us as Your people and help us to examine our hearts tonight and see if we are indeed crucified with Christ, risen with Christ, living for Christ, waiting for Christ and anticipating His return and living like it. May the Holy Spirit of God speak through this, your servant, tonight. And Lord, may you do your work that we cannot do by the power and the person of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so you have become a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been baptized. You have followed Him in the waters of baptism. And you have declared to the world that you are a child of the living God. Amen. How wonderful an opportunity that is. But ladies and gentlemen, there is more to being a Christian than just that. There's more to being a Christian just that. Paul talked about being crucified with Christ. Could I ask you the question tonight, have you been crucified with Christ? Have you gone to Golgotha's hill? Have you put your life upon that cross? Have you surrendered your all? Have you died to self and sin and Satan and the world and been resurrected in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you could say to Him, Lord, I'm yours. And whatever it is tonight that you want of me, from me, I surrender to you. You see, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Listen, it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Listen carefully. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a world today where people in the church want to hold on to God with one hand and the world with the other. You see, we become so involved in the world and the world becomes so involved in the church, it's hard today to tell the church from the world. It's amazing to me that God would save any of us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't surprise me that God would send all of us to hell. What does surprise me is that God loved us enough to save any of us and take us to heaven. Paul knew what it meant to have an experience of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. On the road to Damascus, he met Him. On the road to Damascus, he was transformed. And from that point on in his life, he lived no longer. Paul died on the road to Damascus. He died to self. He died to Satan. He's died to the world. He died to sin. He died to everything and came alive to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, if you followed Christ in the waters of baptism, you have said to the world, here am I. I have become a Christian. I have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know about His life. And today I'm declaring that I am a Christian. And today I am dying with Him. Hello? When you went down into the waters of baptism, what you were declaring to the world is that you were dying, you were being buried, and Jesus Christ was coming alive in you. And as you resurrected and came out of that water, you were saying, man, the old man is dead, the old woman is dead, Jesus Christ is alive, and from now on, the life that I live, I'm going to live in and with and through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you, ladies and gentlemen? Are you dead to self, dead to sin, dead to the world, dead to all that Satan offers you? And are you really alive tonight in the person and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you had your funeral? Have you had your funeral? When you were saved by God's grace and you were baptized in that water, did you realize that you were dying and you were being buried? And you were no longer your own? That from that point on, Jesus Christ owned you lock, stock, and barrel? And from that point on, you were resurrected in him, and his life was yours, and your life was his, and you were supposed to live a holy life, a divine life, a sanctified life, a separated life in every aspect of life, so that you might glorify the Son of God. You see, God expects us to be holy, holy, holy. That's what he said in the Word of God. I am holy, so therefore you be holy. You be separated to me. You be separated from the world. You be separated from sin. You must be like me. You must be dead to sin and alive to Christ. Over in Romans chapter 6, if you'll take your Bible and turn there, I want you to follow me with this. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and he talks about this transformation from death to life. And he asked a question in chapter 6, in verse 1 of the book of Romans. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What a question. I've been saved. I've been born again. I have been washed in the blood of Christ. The grace of God is in me. So therefore, if I'm saved by grace, can I go ahead and sin anyway? There are a lot of people today who say, oh, preacher, I can do all the sin I want to do because all I got to do is go ask God to forgive me, and he will. One fellow said, I can do all the sin I want to do since I got saved. The problem is, for a lot of people, you see, they think that's the case, but the man went on to say, however, since I got saved, my want to's been changed, and I don't want to sin anymore. I want to live for Christ. Amen. Has your want to been changed since you accepted Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If you have not changed, if your life has not changed, if your way has not changed, if your talk has not changed, if your mind has not changed, if your heart has not changed, you are not a Christian. The Bible said if any man's in Christ Jesus, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Behold, all the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Are you new? I hope you are. But if you're going to be new, then you have to be dead to sin, self, and Satan in the world, and you have to live to Christ. Paul, look, in verse 2 of Romans 6, he said, answering his question, he said, certainly not, we should not continue to sin. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Wow. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know, listen, do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? When Jesus died and we were baptized into Christ, we died with him. And if we're not dead with him, we better go back and check up and see what happened in our salvation experience. Paul said, when Christ died, we died with him. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Listen, therefore we were buried with him. We've been baptized with him. We've been buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Wow, did you get that? Crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ, living a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the church in revival. Oh, by the way, this newness of life is what we live now, not something we're going to have later on. We're supposed to be living a new life, talking a new talk with Jesus Christ now. Paul went on to say, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Listen, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's here and now. If we have been buried in the likeness of his death, we also are to be resurrected in the likeness of Christ's resurrection, living the new life, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Wow. Our old man was crucified to him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something tonight? It's not easy to be crucified. It will cost you something to follow Jesus Christ. It will cost you something to die to self. It will cost you something to die to sin. You see, it will cost you your death. It will cost you your crucifixion. You have to identify with him. You have to say to him, "Oh Lord Jesus, I have been crucified with you. I have been buried with you. I am resurrected with you. I am now living in you. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. He has empowered me. I'm going to walk in you, talk in you, live in you, act as you do. I'm going to be yours forever. Because I'm dead." The old man was crucified that we might put on the body of faith, that we might live in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may not be any longer slaves of sin. Listen, Paul said, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." He who has died with Christ has been freed or cleared from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, listen carefully, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. If we have died with him, we believe and know that one day soon we're going to live with him. When he comes again, he's going to take us to heaven. We're going to live with him forever. Oh boy, pie in the sky, by and by. That's not all it's talking about, you see. That's true. Christ is coming. We're going to be translated and transformed, and we're going to heaven to be with him, and we're going to live with him forever. But I want to say to you tonight that we're to live for him here and now, not just then. You see, we need to have preparations. We need to make preparations now for what we're going to experience in heaven. We need to be prepared to serve him now while we are here on this earth. We must die to self. We must die to sin. And Paul said, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Listen, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin. Listen to this. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Once for all, once for all, thank God, he died one time for all that all might be saved. And all of those who come to him can be saved, will be saved. Someone said, "Pastor, what about the elect? What about those who are indeed going to be chosen?" Well, let me tell you who the elect are tonight. The elect of God are the whosoever will. Amen? The Bible said whosoever will might be saved. And so if you're one of the elect, you're going to be saved because of God's grace. He's chosen you in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said for death that he died once for all. But the life that he lives, listen, the life that he lives to God. Now, likewise, grab a hold of this. You see, there's something for you to do, something for me to do. We went through the waters of baptism. We said to the world, "I believe in Jesus. I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. He has called me from my life of sin. I have been saved by his grace. I am crucified with him. I have been crucified with him. I have been buried with him. I am resurrected with him. I am living for him in the power and the might of the living God by the Holy Spirit." And Paul says, if that's true, then you likewise, listen, you also must reckon yourself. You must count yourself. You must take some action in this. You must reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you get that, church member? when they come and offer you the whiskey and the beer and the strong drinks and the drugs. Oh, no, no, no. Uh-uh. I don't do that. I belong to Christ. When they come and offer you the pornography and everything else that's out there today that they want you to get into. Uh-uh-uh. Not me. I belong to Jesus. When they come and want you to be part of the homosexual group and everything else, you know, and they say, man, you can have life in this. This is an alternate lifestyle. Oh, no, 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 no. This is an abomination before a holy God. I belong to Him. I've been crucified to those things. I'm walking with Christ. You better stand up, folks, and be counted. Crucified with Christ. Dead with Christ, alive in Christ. And we must do the reckoning. We must say to ourselves every day, I am dead with Christ because I've been crucified with Christ. I am risen with Christ. I'm walking in Christ. I'm living in Christ. I'm waiting on Christ. Listen, He says you're also reigning with Christ. Now that's something that's not going to be. That's something that is right now. I know indeed one day we're going to be caught up and translated. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be reigning with Him in heaven. We're going to be reigning with Him in the millennial kingdom. We're going to be reigning with Him forever after we are saved and caught up and taken away. But we also must be reigning with Him right now. You see, if we understand that we are His and He's living in us and we're reigning with Him and we're empowered by Him and we're dead to sin and dead to the world and dead to Satan and dead to everything else except Jesus, then we can have revival. Let me ask you something tonight. What's hindering us from having revival? Do you know? I'm going to tell you what hinders the church from having revival. It's a three-letter word. S-I-N. And did you notice the middle letter in that word is I? Preacher, you see, it's really all about me. Me and my four and us and no more. That's what it's all about. No, it's not. The Bible teaches us that after we're saved by the grace of God, we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. He is Lord of our life. Now, the word Lord means the one who is in control. And if you're a Christian and He's not controlling your life and you're not being filled with the Spirit of God so that He can control your life, you have a problem. We have too many of the saints who say they're saints, walking the flesh, living in the flesh, doing what the flesh wants to, living like hell, saying they're on their way to heaven. Let me tell you something tonight. You cannot hold on to the world with one hand and the Lord God with the other and make it through. You must be crucified with Christ. You must be buried with Christ. You must be resurrected with Christ. You must be ruling with Christ. You must be reigning with Christ. You must be dead to yourself. Can you imagine? Can you see with me tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ, a precious, divine, holy, righteous, sinless Son of God, taking a cross and going up to Golgotha's hill, laying that cross down on the ground, and then He Himself willingly crawling weakly upon that cross, stretching out His arms for you and me and letting them crucify Him because He loved us so much. The Father had said to Him, now, Son, you have the power, you have the right to lay your life down, or you have the power and the right to take it up. He said, I'll lay it down. And He did. And there He died. He died once for sin. He died once to sin. He died for our sin. And the Bible says in verse 12 of chapter 6 of Romans, listen, Paul said, therefore, verse 11 again, first of all, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Therefore, listen, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. How often do you sit in your house and watch pornography on the screen of your computer? Do you realize that pornography today is a tens of billions of dollars industry in this nation? And men and women, boys and girls are being hooked on it continually, becoming habitually hooked on it continually. Men of God have failed and have perished out of their ministry because they too have got hooked on that and they have failed God. We have a problem, ladies and gentlemen. It's a moral problem because we're not willing to die to self and sin. Paul went on to say this, listen, and do not present or do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself, yield yourself to God as being, listen, as being alive from the dead. Yield yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Hallelujah. Now, there were those, you see, in Paul's day who said, hallelujah, Paul, that's wonderful, wonderful. I'm under grace, I'm not under the law, so I can go and sin all I want to because God's going to forgive me anyway. If I'm going to be saved by grace, I can do whatever the body wants to and still go to heaven. A lot of people have that attitude today, you understand. If I'm saved by grace through faith, God's going to keep me saved. I'm always going to be saved. I can just go ahead and do what I want to do and still go to heaven. Well, look with me in Romans chapter 12 for just a moment, if you would. I want you to hear what Paul said there to those who believe in Christ. You see, there are those even today who believe that they can use their body for what they want to use it for, but the soul and spirit can belong to God. Did you get that? I give my soul and spirit to the Lord, but the body is mine. I live like I want to in the body, and I can still be saved. There are those in Paul's day who believe that, and there are those in our day who believe that. But listen what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And remember, church body, he's writing to the believers in Christ. And Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, listen, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice. That you present your bodies unto God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What are you doing with your body? What are you listening to with your ears? What are you looking at with your eyes? What are you speaking from your mouth? What comes out your mouth comes out of your heart. Amen? That's what the Bible says, right? And therefore, our bodies are to be in control by God. And Paul said, listen, we are to present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice day by day by day by day. When I get up in the mornings and I put my feet on the ground, on the floor of my house, my first prayer is, oh God, today, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, take this old man. Let me die to self. Let me live to Christ. Fill me today with your Holy Spirit. Use me, God, today to glorify your Son. I'm yours. Present your bodies to Christ as a living sacrifice. Now, notice he did not say a dead sacrifice. You know why he didn't say that? Because Jesus Christ has already died for us. He has already become the dead sacrifice for us, so we can be the living sacrifice for him. So Paul says, present yourself by the mercies of God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Listen carefully. And do not be conformed And that word in the Greek means to be made alike. Do not be conformed. Do not be made like this world. But be transformed. Wow, what a wonderful spiritual transformation. Transformed. Paul said you are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By what? The renewing of your mind. Now, wait a minute, Pastor. I give my heart to the Lord. You mean to tell me that He wants me not only to be holy in my heart, He wants me to be holy in my mind? Yes. He wants you to be holy in your mind. He wants you to be holy in your heart. He wants you to be holy in your emotions. He wants you to be holy in your body. He wants you to be holy, holy, holy because you belong to Him. What you see with your eyes goes down into your heart. Listen to me. Jesus said, if the light that's in your heart is dark, how great is that darkness? What's in your heart? You see, I know what's in here. God knows what's in here. You don't know what's in here. But I have this sincere desire in my soul, knowing that my Father sees all, understands all, knows all, and there's nothing hidden from Him. I have this sincere desire to be holy, holy, holy before Him so that when He looks at this old man, He will see righteousness and holiness and sanctification and the glory of God. David said, where shall I go from the Spirit of the Lord? Are you trying to hide from God? Do you think He doesn't know your thoughts? That He doesn't see your heart? He doesn't know where you're going. He doesn't know what you're looking at. He don't know what you're listening to. He don't know anything. Listen, folks, He is a know-it-all. He's a show-off. He knows it all. He knows where you live. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your body. He knows it all. And we must be holy before holy God, dead to sin, dead to self, crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ. We must reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin and alive unto Him. We must present our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice and stop being conformed to this world and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Listen, He said, that you may prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of your God? You say, preacher, how do you know that? You read this book. You want to know what God has to say? Read the book. Someone said to me not too long ago, Pastor, let me ask you something. How is it that God speaks to me? And how is it that I know what He's saying? I haven't heard Him speak. I said, you haven't read the Word. Here's the way it works. The same God who spoke in days of old by the prophets of old has in these last days spoken to all of us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And He gave us the Word. And if we want to know what Jesus says, what God says, we go to the Word and we read the Word. We pray over the Word and we find the Word and engraft it into our heart so that He speaks to us. And then we run into our prayer closet. And there we say to Him, oh God, You have spoken to me. Now I want to talk with You. And He says, okay, first of all, you be real still and real quiet and let me talk to you for a moment. Uh-oh. You mean I got to listen first? Now, that's scary for a whole lot of people. I mean, you know, I want God to hear what I got to say. I don't want to hear what God says to me. But ladies and gentlemen, got news for you tonight. If you're not willing to hear what He has to say, He may not be willing to hear what you got to say. What is it we pray, Father in heaven? Not my will, yours be done. Hello? Your kingdom come. And so therefore we come first of all to his throne of grace. We become transformed by the renewing of our mind. We will no longer be conformed to this world. We will learn how to know what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of Holy God. And so therefore tonight, I want to ask you, would you really like to have revival? You know how long it's been since revival has come to this world and to this nation? I'm going to kill that flower yet. Ladies and gentlemen, Barbies Grove Baptist Church could be the catalyst for the greatest spiritual awakening and revival this world has ever seen. How do you do that, Pastor? In closing, listen, I want to tell you, you've heard it and you've heard it and you've heard it, but have we done it? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. If we do what? If we humble ourselves, if we turn from our wicked ways, if we quit seeking the hand of God and start seeking the face of God and the glory of God and the might of God and the power of God, if we humble ourselves before Him, present our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice, die to sin, die to self, be crucified with Christ, and then come alive with Christ and go into the prayer closet and seek Him until He moves and until His power comes down, then we can have revival. And by the way, only Christians can have revival. But we must pay the price for revival. How bad do we want it? Someone said revival will never come to America again until America is in such terrible condition that the only place they can turn is to God. We're getting there quick, folks. We're getting there quick. And it's time for us as God's... By the way, did you remember the Bible said the judgment of God does not begin out yonder with all those dirty, rotten sinners? Did you know Peter said the judgment of God is going to begin at the house of God? And if we're ever to experience real revival, it must begin at the church of God, with the people of God, on their face before God, crying out to God again and begging Him to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and fill us with His power and His forgiveness and His grace and His Spirit and set us on fire again for God. Are you on fire tonight for Christ? Closing thought, Revelation. There's a church in there. And the Lord writes to that church and says, something wrong with you. You are lukewarm. You're tepid. You make me sick. And I'm just going to spew you out of my mouth. Whoa. Because He had been talking to us. Is that the church we have today just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is the church today that can be revived and can come alive and can be set on fire because we have been crucified with Christ? It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the life that we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. You may be here tonight and you may be lost. You may not be saved. Well, I want to tell you, you can't have revival until you get saved. If you're here tonight and you're lost, all you can do is come and surrender to Christ and give Him your heart, believe in Him, repent of your sins, have faith in Christ, and ask Him to save you. And He'll do it. But I haven't spoken to the lost tonight. I did that last night. I spoke to the church. And church, I want to ask you, are you willing to pay the price to have revival? Are you willing to surrender to Christ to let Him do it through you? You and I cannot do it. Brother J.C. Treece used to say to me, Pastor, if we want revival, we must pray like everything depends upon us. Excuse me, God. If we want revival, we must pray like everything depends upon God, but we must work like everything depends upon us. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do tonight. If you truly, now don't do this because I'm asking you to, but because God speaks to you. If you truly want to see Barber's Grove Baptist Church experience God-sent revival, I'm going to invite you to get up out of those pews and come to this altar and surrender your life to Christ, be crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, resurrected with Christ. And when you leave this church building tonight, you can say to Him, oh God, here am I, use me. Father, in heaven, oh, how we need spiritual awakening. Oh, how we need spiritual revival. And you said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear in heaven. I'll forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Oh, God, we need our land healed. We need a new spiritual awakening in America. God, we are bankrupt spiritually. And so I cry out to you tonight, asking you through the Holy Spirit of God to do your work that this servant cannot do. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with us. We're going to have the hymn of invitation. And as God has called you, the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, I invite you to come and meet Him here. Brother Eddie?
Page 312, it's on the board as well. Softly and tenderly, let's all sing together. Obey the Lord. Yes, amen.
This church or another church. If you don't know Jesus, please. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Say yes, Spirit. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Earlier, when I was recognized here, yes, ministers. I think they didn't mention special food back there, Larry Coleman. Larry's pastor down at Bayton. Also, Bob Coleman's nephew. That's right. He and I have Bob, you know. He's a real special friend. I'm Les Larry and I love him.
Good gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, coming here to thy house tonight, Lord. We heard the word spoken tonight, Lord. Your word right from your Bible that you've given us, Lord. We'll direct you, Lord, right through, Lord. Lord, we may apply to these words that have been spoken, Lord. We have died to self, the Lord, that we have risen with you, Lord. And Lord, that we will humble ourselves before you. And Lord, that we will seek what you have for us, Lord.
And
Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll just touch each one, Lord, to make a way up in front, Lord. As they make these vows, Lord, before you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll touch them, Lord, that they will become who you would have them to be, Lord. Lord, I just pray that revival will start here, Lord, that it will spread through our country, our nation, Lord. I just pray, Lord, Lord, how much worse it can get. I ask, Lord, that your people will humble themselves before you tonight, Lord. Lord, and cry out to you, Lord, forgive us, Lord. Lord, we will not put up with what this world has to offer, Lord. That we have died for this world, that we have risen with you, Lord. May we live like we have risen. May we cry out to you, Lord. Lead us and guide us this day. Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless this church and this community, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you continue to lead and guide, direct the Lord. May you fill up this house, dear Lord, that is yours. Lord, that this will be a shining light in this community, Lord. And all of this we ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.